Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, it gives me great pleasure to talk to my next guest. He was one of Ireland's most famous artists during the boom years, attracting fans and income from A-listers. Then the boom stopped. He found himself becoming just another artist, trying to get noticed and sell some work. His latest exhibition, Don't Anger the Gods, opened last Thursday at the Flux Gallery on Chatham Row, right here in Dublin. It's really great to welcome Mark Kavanagh, a.k.a. Rasher, to the show.
Thanks, Bobby.
Rasher, how are you?
Oh, I'm brilliant, brilliant. I'm good.
Now, you've been along round the block here a long number of years, Mark. 30 years painting. Yep. Let's just talk a little bit about your journey. You're self-taught as an artist.
Yeah.
So how did you first see that you had a talent here?
It was just primary school. I wasn't really good academically in school, so I'd have dyscalculia, dyslexia, and I'd say of ADHD as well. So academics weren't great for me, so I struggled. It was kind of like going to a torture chamber. But when we did art class, and then other students would go, oh, that's brilliant, and I was getting attention. So then I kind of started to think, oh, I'm getting attention for this and people think I'm good at it. So I kind of focused all my energy on that because it felt good getting that attention.
And did you get some help from a teacher or from somebody who spotted that you maybe had a talent, or what gave you the encouragement to go down, I suppose, the artist route?
When I got into secondary school, I just thought, like, the only jobs in art would be cartoonist. So I was thinking I'll go and be a cartoonist. But then when I discovered the art history books, I discovered Caravaggio, Rembrandt, Francis Bacon. So then I discovered that you can go to art college. So I realised during that process, you're going to need 2 honours and 4 passes. And I knew that I'm going to find that very difficult. So I did focus on doing honours English, and I'd get honours art and then I'd hopefully get in. But that wasn't the case. I couldn't even get that. So but I did manage to get into a portfolio year. I didn't get the Leaving Cert, but I managed to get into a portfolio year. And they weren't going to let me into the portfolio because I didn't have the 2 honours and 4 passes, and they knew I wouldn't be able to go on to art college. So they just said, look, your portfolio is massive. We know you're dedicated, so we're going to let you into this year, and we think it'll benefit you whether you go on to college or not. So they did support me. But then there was a fashion design teacher in Biffy in Bray, and at the end of the year exhibition, she seen my talent and she said, in Inniscarry, I'll turn my bedroom into a gallery for you and I'll invite all my friends. And that was a start for me.
And how did you then build your reputation in those, I suppose, Celtic Tiger years to have the likes of Sylvester Stallone and Tom Cruise and all? Like, what was the bit that got you to that level?
Well, when I started off, like, I'm originally from a council estate. Well, I'm kind of a hybrid. I moved into a nice estate after I was about 10 or 11, so I'm a bit of a hybrid. So, like, I didn't know anybody in the art industry, and it was all, like walking into a dark lane. You just don't know, you know, what's ahead of you or which way to go or how to navigate through this, because I didn't know anybody in the industry. But I just, after that exhibition I had in Inniscarry, I just picked paintings up, 2 or 3 paintings, and walked into Dublin and knocked on every gallery in Dublin and just said, here, would you be interested in selling my work? Every gallery shut their door, bar one gallery on Duke Street, which is Apollo Gallery, where Graham Nuttall used to sell.
At the corner of Duke and Dawson.
I brought the work in there, and I said, I was 19, and I said, would you be interested in selling my work? And they said, how much are you looking for them? Because they're quite interesting. And she said, well, I'd love £250 at the time. And she said, there's no way you're getting that because you're an unknown artist. I said, here, listen, just take them. And if somebody offers you money, just take it. And we'll just take a risk on it. And then the following week, I got a phone call. And she said, I sold one of those paintings. And I said, how much you get them? I got £50 at the time. So she says, can you bring more work in? From that point on, it kind of just grew. And then I got a bit of attention. I think it was the Late Late Show was doing Newcomers 2000, and they had rugby players on, they had poets, they had every walk of life on that night, and I was one of them. And then I kind of started to gain a little bit of media attention.
Yeah, yeah. So was that important that media attention in terms of building up
absolutely
your reputation. And I'm also intrigued about the business side of this, because, you know, you said it yourself, you went out with your paintings, you hustled, you had to sell them. There's also the cost of raw materials, there's the time cost, because this is a serious business. So the importance of the exhibition, talk to me about that.
As in
how important is that to selling as a sales channel?
Yeah, the mechanics of organising an exhibition. Like, it's a like you're beg, borrowing and stealing to put exhibitions on. You're basically, you know, the musician who has the harmonica stuck to his face, the guitar, the bass drum, and the cymbals on his. You end up being that person. Before that, I was with an agent, and I had a PR company, and they did the guts and bones of the work, and that was great. But then when the recession happened, everything flatlined. So that was it. You were back to basics again.
Isn't it amazing? And we chatted about it before you came on air, but isn't it amazing how related you are to the economy? In other words, when things are good, you're really flying.
Yeah.
But the minute things get bad, it's like somebody turned off a switch. Yeah.
It's your what is it, first in, last out.
Yeah.
So like when I was 19 and I came onto the art scene, the economy was starting to grow. So I was in a good place because people were starting to buy art and they were buying houses. Some people were buying 2, 3, and 4 houses. So they were filling these houses. Everybody became an entrepreneur or a developer.
Yeah.
So people were buying art, you know, regularly, on a regular basis. But then when the recession kicked in, when the plug was pulled, it just flatlined. The industry was dead. So it still hasn't really fully recovered because, we're last in.
So if you look at the barometer of price by way of example, so values of art would have fallen massively in 2008, 2010, 2012. Have they come anywhere close or back to the to the levels of Celtic Tiger times?
Yeah, they have kind of climbed back, but like when the recession hit, everything closed down. There was a lot of framing businesses along high streets closed down, so a lot of galleries closed down. So you basically had to just man your own exhibitions and put them on, try and find a venue, whether it be a hotel.
Yeah.
I was in the Dean Hotel for 15, 17 and 19. And then like you can't kind of drop your prices because you've reached a certain level. And I think collectors who have purchased your work before will start to get really annoyed that they invested money and then now your work's just, it's worthless. So you have to try and keep the value of it, but you just have to try and create work that's really substantial and that people will part with the money, because people got very cautious after the recession. So that you have to create monumental pieces and smaller pieces.
And how do you decide then, again, looking at this with a business hat on, you know, do I make a whole load of small paintings? Do I make so many big ones?
Yeah.
Well, what are the economics of those decisions?
It's funny that you're talking about business. I've no business background. And like you have to learn on the fly. You have to learn very quickly. And yeah, that was one of the things that you had to do. Because I used to paint like massive paintings. Like there'd be 6-foot to 8-foot paintings. And then I was reduced to painting really small paintings. And that's how you kind of have to maneuver. And if you don't maneuver in that way, well, then you're not going to be able to make a crust. So you have to like think on your feet.
And things like the framing, which maybe at one stage you might have outsourced.
Oh, absolutely.
Now you do that yourself. And is that about, again, preserving margin? So that you're controlling your own costs.
Yeah. When you bring the costs down, like if I go with a gallery, the gallery will probably take 50%. And then you have framing costs on top of that. Now, if you have 27 paintings or 20 paintings, right, you might not sell them all, which that is always kind of the case, because some people like the stronger pieces and they'll go first. So then you could be left, you know, with certain percentages being coming out of your profits. So you're like, if there's too many people, you know,
feeding off the
bird feeder, well then, you know, it's going to be harder for you to put on an exhibition, because you'd need nearly 2 to 3 years to put on an exhibition. Then you have to cram all your ideas into like 2 years.
Tell us about the latest exhibition, the Visual Odyssey at Flux. There's a lot of philosophy, there's a lot of deep meaning and thinking behind the paintings.
Yep.
How concerned are the purchasers about the story behind the painting, or how, or do they just look at it visually and say, I like that?
I think, like, I put a lot of effort. I worked with Jess Sharkey. She's a Trinity PhD student. So this, in this exhibition, we've put a lot of thought and effort into putting a QR code on a little card when you enter the exhibition, so you get all the information about each painting when you walk in.
Right.
So the subject matter that you were talking, the topic about Trump, there's a painting in there and it's called It Don't Anger the Gods. And it's a man in a suit with napkins on their heads and they're eating this ortolan bird. So the whole idea behind that is that the people in the suits are the gods and the ortolan, this little bird, are the civilians. And when people like Trump make these decisions on tariffs...
It's a shame thing, is it?
No.
That way you have a napkin over your head.
It's just that we feel the
I clearly misinterpreted the meaning.
No, there's a whole narrative behind that, but we suffer, the civilians will suffer by people who make decisions who are in power. But the whole idea, it's a long... I don't know how much time I have now, Bob, because you
have about 50 seconds.
You see, I'm not going to get that whole story in. You have to come into the exhibition and I'll fill you in on all the information about these paintings.
No, absolutely. And just finally then, Rasha, and I do appreciate you coming in. Were you pleased with the reaction to the exhibition?
I couldn't have asked for a better turnout.
How are the sales, as the fellow says?
I'm relieved. I look at sales as like there's more time to create the next exhibition. I don't see it as, oh, there's money, I'll go on a holiday, or I'll buy a car. Right? I just see it, well, there's 3 months, there's another thing. Then I'll work it out that I can have another 2 years.
That's called as reinvestment in your business.
Labour.
That's what it is.
Yeah, reinvesting in the labour.
Well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Rasher. Keep doing what you're doing. You're a great ambassador for art. You really believe in your craft. And I'm delighted to see you're still painting away 30 years later.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, but I really appreciate having me on, honestly.
Not at all. Great to talk to you. Loads more to come. Stay tuned.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.